Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June 8th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In today's agricultural news, the NRCS has some online energy calculators. And the United States Secretary of Agriculture says the next farm bill should be about more than 150,000 or so commercial farmers across the nation. He's looking for a much broader farm bill to represent rural America. We'll have details of these stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And then just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $4.84, down 3 cents. That's actually in Kansas City. July wheat in Chicago at $3.83.5, down 4 and 1 quarter. September futures were off 4 and 3 quarters today at $3.98 and 3 quarters. July corn futures in Chicago, $2.45.5, down 5.5. September's at $2.57.5, off 5.25. December contract at 271, they were down 5.75 today, and the March futures down 5.25 at $2.82 for the day. Soy complex now bean futures, July contract $5.87.75, they were off 9.25. The August at 5.95, down 8.75, and the September futures at 601.5 were down 9 cents. November beans down 8 at 6.16.5. Bean meal, July contract, $180.10. They were off $2 even. July bean oil at $24.65. They were off 30 cents for the day. Feeder cattle futures, August contract at the Mercantile Exchange, $109.60, up 20 cents. June live cattle at $79.87.5, 100 weight. They were down 47.5 cents. And June lean hogs at $72.30, up 87.5 cents on the day. Outside markets, crude oil, July contract, $70.30 a barrel, down 52 cents. The CRB index at 339.05. That's off 417 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,902, down 28 points at this hour. And the July gold at $611.10, off $18.70 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace and how you view it technically.
Well, the market here, I think, is reacting to, number one, generally favorable growing conditions. You can look at the good to excellent rating levels that came out Monday, the weather forecasts. We've had some changes back and forth, but to my understanding, the weather maps now do kind of map out some pretty good rains here over the next 5 to 10 days or so, and if that materializes, that would really kind of shore up our overall, you know, crop prospects for a real strong national average yield. Granted, we have a long ways to go yet before the crop is out of danger, but as long as we're moving down a path to have a high-end yield, it's real tough to kind of get the market to respond to the upside on that. The other thing is that outside market activity has kind of turned to the bearish side. It kind of started with the precious metals here, three, 4 weeks ago. A lot of volatility, a lot of swings, you know, $20 up and $20 downs and $25 downs and $30. And now what you've seen is the precious metal markets now have traced out a sideways to lower trend. We do have a sideways to lower trend going on in the gold and silver markets. Then the energy markets have kind of done the same thing, especially crude oil. A lot of volatility in it, but at the end of the day, that volatility has led to a sideways to lower decline in energy values over the last 3-4 weeks. So, and then of course the talk that the Fed may end up having to raise interest rates is now strengthening the dollar. The dollar looks like it may have put in kind of at least a low point for a period of time here. Don't know how long, but it does look like it's wanting to bounce off of some lows. It kind of looks like the bond market's kind of wanting to trace out some lows, trying to rally bonds. So I think we've had somewhat of a cooling down of inflationary expectations, and that's kind of weighed on the markets too, I think, here over the past couple weeks or so.
There's an awful lot of chatter across the marketplace about Benner cycles. A couple of folks this week on the weather side talking about dry weather coming later in the season. I know that you folks have been talking at AgriVisor potentially about an explosion to the upside at some time if things lined up in the right way. What are your feelings about this marketplace as we head into the summer months?
Well, it's kind of hard to play two adverse weather years in a row. I mean, we definitely, things did turn out pretty good for us in the Eastern Corn Belt here last year. But, I mean, it was definitely hot and it was definitely dry, and the rains came, you know, it must have just came right at the right time because we did pull out some pretty good yields here in the Eastern Corn Belt. So I find it difficult to play those kind of years 2 years in a row. That does not necessarily mean they can't materialize, but you kind of got to go along with averages, and the reason we have averages is weather is, you know, we do have some dry spells and some wet spells and some hots and some cool days, but I guess I'm more inclined to think that so far we're following more of a normal type pattern. I mean, we may be a shade on the dry side, we may be a shade on the cool side. But it's kind of hard for me to reach out and want to play a real adverse weather pattern. I think that if there is an adverse weather pattern in play, it's probably more likely in the Western Corn Belt. Things are beginning to maybe get a little dry there, so that's why it's important to see whether or not this frontal system does kick up enough rain activity to kind of satisfy their needs out in the Western Corn Belt for the near term. But these weather forecasters as well as market advisory services, you got to keep in mind that unless they're talking about dry weather or bull markets, nobody's going to sell any newsletters, Todd.
That's right.
So this is natural chatter in the trade that there's always somebody going to come up with some kind of forecast that either we're going to have a depression or we're going to have a sharp explosion to the upside to get people's attention. And the more extreme you make it these days, the more noise, you know, you're going to get more play. I mean, it just seems like you have to make it real extreme to get play nowadays because there's so much competition out there. For some time, I kind of think the bean market is probably in a better shape, a longer term to take off down the road. And I guess you're jumping over some hurdles here, but you can kind of see that, you know, next year, if the corn prices stay relatively good and all of these ethanol plants do come online, we're going to see a shift in some pretty big numbers of corn acres. Farmers like to graze corn to start with, and mm-hmm. if they're assured that there's somebody that's going to want that product, they're going to plant it. So I see big shift in corn acres next year at the expense of soybeans. I look down the road, and I see South America still struggling financially. I think that, you know, they may drop back on corn, soybean acres again next year. So looking down the road, it does look like acreage levels in soybeans could shrink, and the market may begin to respond to that at some point in time. And, of course, the biodiesel market is just beginning to catch in soybeans. It's well underway, or the ethanol market is well underway in the corn market, but the biodiesel market in beans is still yet to kind of unfold. So there's more growth potential out there. And, you know, we'll have to see what July weather is, probably August weather. Last year we had the hot and dry in July, and then in August the rains came and helped things out. Maybe this year we have a generally crop-friendly July, and August turns into the hot temperatures, and who's to say that we won't get a frost yet? So, you know, there's a lot of weather out there. But when you look at corn and wheat, I have to be a little concerned, because they have really had a lot of bullish news thrown at those markets over the past couple months. And right at the moment, on the wheat, for example, you almost have to kind of worry about short crop, long tail scenario unfolding. I'm sure you're going to have a lot more wheat acres next fall planted based upon these price levels. So it looks like expanding wheat acres is going to come into play here this fall. That kind of goes along with expanding corn acres. Mm-hmm. And, then the other thing is that we've got a lot of corn and soybeans, old crop inventory, to move or pile up outside. To my understanding, it's going to pile up outside. There's just not enough barges. There's just not enough rail cars to move this grain that we've got to push out into the marketplace over the summer months. So it looks to me like we're going to have another pile, corn piles and bean piles all over the place, and that's going to kind of weigh on the market unless we get into an all-out weather market here sometime in July.
Won't that weigh on the market because at least here in Illinois and those areas of Indiana that have access to the port system, won't it weigh on the market simply because the further out you go, the more demand there'll be for ethanol for corn production, and it's likely to weigh on the market simply because the prices will be so good on the cash side further out that you've got to
you think you're going to have to leave it narrow in.
I'm sorry.
You think the demand in ethanol is going to narrow the basis levels in?
Well, it's not.
Well, to a certain extent, but we're not going to crush the whole crop to ethanol. Remember?
Well, I know, but we've got to crush a lot more of it. Don't you think it's going to narrow the basis?
It will in spots, but, I mean, the ethanol buyer ain't going to pay any more for the grain than the exporter.
Well, he's got to keep that plant running.
He's not going to pay any more. Unless he has competition from the exporter, he's not going to pay any more.
Well,
I mean, that's competition. It's just like competitive wages. That means that they're going to pay you a dollar more than the next guy.
Don't they have to narrow it in just to keep it in place?
Well, you got to keep in mind that farmers produce grain to move and to market, and they have a 12-month window to kind of market that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just thinking that this thing might narrow that in, but I'm not the commodity consultant, so
a lot of that depends upon the size of crop we have.
Yeah.
And the size of crop, it does look like yield prospects look pretty good at the moment, but I know 2 weeks of hot and dry weather can change that equation in a quick order. Now, the other thing in corn is the real cruncher is what kind of acreage level do you want to put on it? I mean, do you want to put an 80 million acreage level on this, or do you want to keep it down around 78? I think that's huge potential of really swinging this corn market one way or the other.
Which do you think?
Weeks.
I'm on the low end of that one. I don't usually put guesses out, but I think it's closer to USDA is closer to right than most people think they are.
I would go toward the high end simply because I think USDA was way too low in March, and even an 80 million would tell you you're still cutting acres a million and a half.
Yeah.
So
all right.
I'm more inclined to think that the market accomplished what it needed to do, or what it set out to do, is to put some additional acres of corn into production. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. I ain't going to... I've lost a lot of bets on USDA reports over my years.
One other question. How closely do we have to watch the price of crude oil in this whole process?
Well, crude oil is important in the sense because we do have an energy factor into corn, or that's what we've been trying to wrestle with. What is that energy factor value probably in a bushel of corn?
Yep.
You know, what is that? Does that make up 20% or 15% or 30%? I don't know. So crude oil is important.
Well, what if crude goes back to 40 bucks a barrel?
If crude oil would slip back into the 60s, that kind of takes a little bit of the edge off of all of this alternate fuel talk. I mean, you know, American public forgets quickly. Politicians quit. You know, they forget real quick. So, I mean, if you get this gasoline back to, you know, $2.25, everybody would probably be happy and be, you know, kissing the dirt that gasoline is back to 2¼. Now, whether or not that happens or not, I don't know, you know.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, that's about it, I think, Todd. I probably told you way too much already today.
It was a fun afternoon. Thanks, Mike.
Uh-huh. Bye.
And that's Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the ag weather. Our forecast for tonight from Ed Kieser says the skies will be partly cloudy across the two-state region. The lows will range from 55 in the north to 65 in southwestern Illinois. And tomorrow, partly sunny, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, highs from 68 near Lake Michigan to 85 in southwestern Illinois. In today's agricultural news, U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns this week called for sweeping changes to the next farm bill, saying the rural economy is really so much broader than farming and ranching. Johanns, addressing a USDA Rural Development Conference in Washington, D.C., pointed out the number of farmers in America had declined by two-thirds since the New Deal farm policies of the Depression era went into effect. And he said the roughly 2 million farmers and ranchers remaining, only about 150,000 produce the vast majority of the nation's food and fiber. He also noted that 60 million Americans live in rural America and that 58 million of them do not farm or ranch. And Johanns also said roughly 90% of all so-called farm income actually comes from off-farm sources. Johanns said all those facts pointed to the need for greater investment in broad rural development and rural infrastructure programs that are focused solely on ag production. He said such investments could include such things as child care center, an industrial park, or a value-added venture. Johanns said the renewable fuels industry also holds much promise for rural America. Well, the NRCS energy calculators are saving producers big money. During a hearing to review agricultural conservation programs yesterday, members of the Senate Ag Committee had a host of technical questions for the top USDA officials, as well as numerous questions on energy. The question from Colorado Democrat Ken Salazar was, could Conservation Reserve program acres potentially provide biomass to feed future cellulosic ethanol plants? Farm Service Agency Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs John Johnson said the answer could vary by region, but Natural Resources Conservation Chief Bruce Knight told the committee his agency wondered if the need to save money on fuel and fertilizer could not be used to promote conservation. Knight says NRCS started an effort to do just that last year with the launch of an online tillage calculator. Following the success of that application, Knight said NRCS released a fertilizer calculator that has also the potential to save producers big money, and that NRCS is going to continue moving forward on that front with the launch of a new energy savings calculator for irrigation. According to Knight, that could be available as early as next week, but Knight says the real energy savings of the future could come from reduced fertilizer applications made possible by precision agriculture. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In today's Listener Opinion Forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Amy Murray outlines what the Farm Bill is and is not.
As the 2007 Farm Bill quickly approaches, many are left wondering what exactly the Farm Bill is. The Farm Bill is a collection of laws, policies, and legislation related to agricultural production, food distribution, and hunger. The bill focuses on basic farm programs within individual titles, including farm payments, agricultural trade, conservation, food assistance, ag promotion, credit, rural development, and research and education. It does not cover all policies that affect agricultural production, such as labor, trade, food distribution, or rural community development. For example, immigration, labor, trade, environmental tax laws, and antitrust laws are all outside of the Farm Bill, but yet directly impact agriculture. But how and why was the Farm Bill started? The Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1933 was the first Farm Bill. As with other New Deal, the Farm Bill was established to protect farmers and stabilize rural economies. It was a response to economic hardship in agriculture following World War I and made worse by the Great Depression. At the heart of the bill are policies to protect farm income and support commodity prices. The mandatory commodity programs established under the bill are considered a permanent law. If a new Farm Bill isn't rewritten every 4 to 6 years, whichever Congress specifies, the Farm Bill would revert to those permanent commodity programs established in 1949. At the time that the first Farm Bill was passed in 1933, agriculture employed 21.5% of the American workforce. Today, agriculture employs only 1.9% of the workforce, and direct farm marketings only account for 0.7% of the gross domestic product. Farming is mechanized, highly productive, and its output is concentrated on a small number of large specialized farms focused on one or a small number of commodities. Perhaps the most widely accepted reasons why we have farm legislation is to maintain vibrant rural economies, to help conserve and manage our natural resources, to maintain a positive balance of trade, particularly for food, and to maintain our food security and safety for the general public. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, this is Amy Murray.
Amy Murray's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, located at the Elevator in Lexington, Illinois, now joins us for a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How's basis holding up?
Well, the basis on corn has gotten a little bit better over the week. In fact, we saw a little improvement today, about a penny or so. As the price has kind of drifted down here, the farmer is busy, and I think that's helped. I think also there is a little bit of China business that we saw there, and I think maybe the export market perked up their ears a little bit more anyhow. Probably the big news on the basis side of things is the wheat basis, and it just really fell out of bed here this last week. For example, up in this area, we're 50 under or more at this point. So just really not much demand for the wheat when there's good carry in the corn market and other markets, and you can hold a bushel of grain rather than fill it up with wheat.
I'm wondering, we talked about this on Commodity Week at one point, and I'm not sure what that might mean in terms of storage this fall across the board. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to get kind of interesting because I think when we get into harvest say you've cleaned out a bin to put wheat in, mm-hmm. and you get it 75% full, then what happens, is you get in there and start needing to get that other 25% filled. I think you could actually see maybe a little bit of strengthening going into the end of harvest, you know, as you try to get that space filled that you have made. But then as you go to September 1st and try to move wheat out, I think that's when you could really get into your poor prices from a wheat standpoint.
Farmers doing basic field work at this point, they're all done. Are they doing much?
Well, there's some up around Pontiac and up in that area. There's still some beans to be planted. In fact, I talked to a customer this morning, so I had several hundred acres of beans to plant. So, but for the most part, they're done right through here. And it looks like the ground, barring any rain in the next 24 hours or so, they should be able to get, you know, those beans planted that need to be planted.
Your bids for the day?
On the cash corn, 216, new crop 233, beans 553, new crop 578.
Thanks much.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer with Roach Ag Marketing. He's at the elevator in Lexington, Illinois. Now time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Congressman Tim Johnson underwent outpatient surgery today to remove a form of skin cancer. The Urbana Republican suffered from a basal cell carcinoma located under his arm. That kind of cancer is not usually fast-moving and is generally considered to be easily treatable. Johnson's spokesman Phil Bloomer says the congressman will be back at work tomorrow, and doctors predict a 99% chance of complete recovery. Governor Rob Blagojevich says Illinois added more jobs, 23,000, in April than any state in the union. In a statement, the governor says the state has come roaring back from a recession that took away jobs between 2000 and 2003. Blagojevich's Republican challenger Judy Bartapinka immediately questioned the numbers. She says the governor has released misleading figures before. Local and state emergency officials today unveiled a trailer equipped with high-tech communications equipment. The $400,000 unit will be used by emergency personnel in Champaign and 13 other central Illinois counties so they can keep in touch with each other when disaster strikes. Illinois Terrorism Task Force Chairman Michael Chamna says they're providing each region in the state with a communications trailer. He says they're the result of lessons learned from communications problems during the 9/11 attacks. The longtime mayor of the Chicago suburb of Niles says corruption allegations against him are, quote, crazy. Nicola Blaze was arrested today on federal mail fraud charges. He's accused of steering business to a Friends Insurance Agency in return for bribes. Prosecutors say the payoffs went on for 17 years. An Indiana National Guard soldier from Avon, Indiana, who was given a Purple Heart by Governor Mitch Daniels, has been killed in Iraq. 34-year-old Staff Sergeant Richard Blakely was killed Tuesday by small arms fire while on patrol. Daniels gave Blakely the medal during a trip to Baghdad in April. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Well, when up-to-date weather or market information is important to you, WILL AM is a place to stay connected. Strengthen that connection with a contribution. This is listener-supported radio, and right now you can help us raise the $172,600 still needed to meet our June 30th fundraising goal. Mail that check to UIF, Friends of WILL Radio, 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. And thanks much. Joining us now to take a look at the weather is Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the near term here in the Midwest.
Well, in the Midwest, it looks like another wet weekend for much of the central portions of the Midwest. The large-scale pattern shows a ridge of high pressure aloft over the Great Plains and Western Plains and Rockies, and a large persistent trough in the eastern U.S., and that creates a northwesterly flow of air right down the middle of the Midwest through Iowa, central Illinois, southern Indiana, and thereabouts. And that will be the highway for a series of weather disturbances this weekend. And we look for the first to produce significant precipitation tomorrow and tomorrow night as it comes through Iowa and then across Illinois. And then a second one will follow later in the weekend, probably late Sunday and Monday, another batch of showers coming through. So it looks like there will be frequent periods of showers during this period and much cooler temperatures. Temperatures will drop off from the mid to upper 80s we're looking at today into the upper 70s to low 70s tomorrow and Saturday, and just just hang in the 70s for max temperatures through much of next week. So much cooler weather with episodes of showers.
And just one other question before I have to let you go. In the southeastern part of the state of Illinois, southwestern Illinois, they've been heavy with rain. Will they be inundated again, or will they miss this?
No, they're not going to miss this one, I'm sorry to say, Todd. Looks like they're going to get another batch. That'll be on Saturday, probably, when they get it down there. And then they'll also be the recipients of a more persistent batch of showers Sunday to Tuesday.
Well, we'll look to see if we can get them some dry weather fairly soon. Otherwise, they're going to hurt really bad in that area. All right. Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt joined us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And thank you for staying with us for the last half hour. We appreciate it greatly. For Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.